Greetings, everyone. This is Keith and Karina coming to you again, once again, from the great state of Pennsylvania. Today, we're going to talk about continuing in the power of the Spirit, the power of God, walking in the power of God, part two. And so, before we get into that, I want to let my sweetheart share a few things, and then we'll get into some teaching here.
Awesome. Hi, everyone. Once again, such a blessing to be able to share this time with you. It is so good to know that we get to speak truth. There are so many different places and messages out there that a lot of people listen to, but they are not true. And the Word of God says that the truth will set us free. So it is really good to know that we are part of that team that speaks truth, because we are speaking the Word of God and part of the team that is working, collaborating with the Holy Spirit, so that each one of you, if you do not know the truth, you will be set free. And I want to take a moment and thank God for my husband, Keith, a man of God who the Lord has not only created, but also sent to this world a time such as this. I know it sounds a little bit kind of like ET, but well, as a matter of fact, you know what, the Word of God says that we are in this world, but we are not of the world. So I do thank God that he sent you with a mission. And I have been very blessed by listening to you, by not only with your words, but to see the testimony of your faith. And it's a beautiful thing to see, to be a part of, to watch. And just as I can say about you that you are here on a mission, I am going to, with great assurance, say the same thing about myself. I am here on a mission. What I mean is that there is a purpose, there is a reason why God made me, and he sent me at this time, during this time in history, to this geographical location. And guess what? It's not limited only to you and I, but it's also true for those that already have given their heart to the Lord. So that's also for you, friend. That's also for you. If you know the Lord, if you've given him your heart, I thank God for your life, because you are also on a mission. The Lord has a specific plan for you, and that it's really good for you to every day wake up knowing that there is a purpose, a divine purpose for your existence. So praise God. I bless you, my wonderful husband, and I thank God for your life.
Wow.
And it's not even your birthday.
It's not even my birthday. See that? Yeah. Lord. I can imagine how good it's going to be on my birthday.
There you go.
Anyway, wow, that was quite an introduction, sweetheart. I appreciate that.
I'm going to have to start reading more Hallmark cards.
Sounds like you can write some yourself. Right.
But it's all true. It's all true.
Not so much appreciate the kind words, baby. God definitely sent you into my life. I waited a long time, as well as you did, and we trust, you know, I guess what we want to say here to you people who are listening, you know, it's ain't about us, it's also about you, and about what That's God right. wants to do in your life, you know, walking in the power of God, walking in the Spirit, walking in unity with him. It's about being able to have that close relationship with him, as well as being able to do what he's called you to do, you
That's
know.
Right.
If it's just a matter of inheriting eternal life, you know, the Lord could have just came and took us as soon as we accepted the Lord.
That's right.
But he didn't. And
there's a reason.
And that means he's got something for us to do while we're here on earth.
No, let me ask a question. I'm wondering, those that are listening now, and they're probably, maybe somebody is saying, yeah, that sounds really nice. You guys probably have a really nice life, but you guys have no idea what I've done. You guys have no idea the ways that I've messed up. I am sure that the Lord is not going to be giving me another opportunity. I must have already struck out too many times for the Lord to even consider me as a useful vessel. But we see so many examples in the Bible of people that the Lord used. And I'm going to dare mention one, for example, Moses, which is so famous, right? And he messed up big times as well, right? He messed up, but the Lord had a purpose and a plan for his life. I'm saying that because, as you mentioned before with Jesus, when he stated, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me," and it wasn't just to state that the Spirit of God was upon him, there was a reason. There was going to be a manifestation. Because the Spirit of God was upon Jesus, something was going to happen. Something was going to happen with his life. There were things that were going to be obvious to those around him. The Lord was going to affect positively those around him because the Spirit of God was upon him. But guess what? That's true also for the believers. The Spirit of God is upon us, and there is a reason why the Spirit of God is in us. As you said just now, it's not only to tell us, hey, one day when you die, you're going to heaven. The Lord is going to do something in us, through us, something that is going to be obvious to those around us. We are here on a mission to positively affect those around us because the kingdom of God is here. The power of the Holy Spirit is here. And it should be obvious. So why am I saying this? One, because I'm thinking of how greatly the Lord is using you. And by God's grace, how the Lord has also given me an opportunity to share with others and make a difference in other people's lives. But our listeners, somebody may be thinking, I messed up. That's it. I can't be part of that group. Yes, I'm a Christian, but I'm just going to sit on the sidelines and just wait for the day till the Lord calls me back home. That's it. But no, we see story after story in the Bible where we mess up. And that doesn't mean that God doesn't have the power to restore us and to bring us back into the game, or what we, as we say, into the race. We are constantly in a race. And I mentioned Moses because he's so famous. I think everybody knows the story of Moses. And God had a mission. God had a purpose for his life. That's why he did not die as a baby. The Lord saved his life. But he did something. He killed a man. And he ran away. He ran away. And he was away for 40 years in the desert. I am pretty sure that Moses did not think that there was a bright future ahead of him. And as the years went by, it seemed like there was less of a chance. I am almost pretty sure that he thought that God forgot about him. And why should God remember him? He messed up. He messed up. And then, God, who is full of grace, full of mercy, who does not change, he comes to Moses' life and he lets Moses know, no. Now is when your purpose, the reason why you're still on planet Earth, is going to shine. Now I'm going to show you why I sent you to Earth. You go back to Egypt and I'm going to use you to set my people free. Isn't that an amazing story?
Yes, absolutely, sweetheart. I mean, it's amazing how oftentimes the Lord has used those people who've messed up the most. Yeah. You think of David.
Yeah.
You know, he committed adultery, and then to try to cover it up, he had the man killed. That's, took his wife. Yeah. And, wow. You know, he did suffer some consequences of that, but yet God still used him mightily, because the Bible says that even in all that, that David was a man after God's own heart.
That's impressive.
And that seems like, what, really, after doing that? But, you know, God is in the restoration business. He's not in the throwaway business. And this is what the world we live in. You know, you screw up, you mess up. People want to throw you away. You know, I've heard many people say about, you know, people who've gone to prison, you know, they need to throw away the key, lock them up and throw away the key. Mm. But that's not God's mentality toward it. His mentality is to redeem people, to buy them back from destruction, from what the failures that they've committed. And, you know, this is key on the subject that we're talking about, because walking in the power of God's Spirit is not going to happen for those people who basically feel like they've failed and can never, have a restart or a new beginning. But yet God is about new beginnings.
That's right.
Because it says in, I think it's 2 Corinthians 5:17. Let me see if that's the scripture we're looking at, where it says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Let's see. Yeah, it says 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new.
Amen.
And wow. I mean, talking about a new start, a fresh start, you know, from zero, having a clean slate.
Yeah.
You know, we're told this in other scriptures, you know, that God forgives our sins and remembers them no more. That he takes our sins and removes them from us as far as the east is from the west. I think Psalms 103... let me look that up real quick here, because I think somebody needs to hear this.
I believe so. I think, you know, more than one person needs to hear this.
Yeah.
Definitely. It's going to make a big difference.
If the devil, you know, is known for anything, he's known for stealing people's destinies.
That's right.
You know, if he can't get you to go to hell with him, where he's going to end up in the lake of fire eventually, then he wants to steal your future that he make you of a none effect.
Do you remember the other day, one of the podcasts, you mentioned that there were two things that the enemy was after? Can you repeat that for our new listeners?
Right, yeah.
Do you remember that?
Sure, yeah, because I've taught on that many times over the years. And, you know, if he can't get a person a soul that keeps them from being saved, that's the first thing he's after, is to keep a person from becoming born again, to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, because he knows eternal life will give them a future in heaven forever, and which he doesn't have.
That's right.
So he wants to take that away from everyone, because that's the kind of being that he is.
Yeah.
He has no love for anyone.
He knows he's going to be destroyed, and he just wants to take as many with him as possible.
Right, so that's his first objective, is to keep people from being born again, receiving salvation, receiving eternal life, and so that they will go to hell and be thrown in the lake of fire. But if he can't stop that, then the next step is to stop him from being able to walk in the power of the Spirit, because he knows there's power available. And that's what this subject is about. But yet, if he can't keep you from getting saved, he will do his best to keep you from walking in that power. And we've talked about this before, because I believe he's been very effective at accomplishing that second goal.
Unfortunately.
You know.
But I believe today many listeners, their walking in walking with Christ is going to change. They're no longer going to allow themselves to be deceived by the devil. They're going to know the truth, and they're going to wake up. Something's going to happen to them, and it's going to change. I know it in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen. Yeah, so let's look at this scripture in Psalms 103, and it is verse 12, but I want to start here and read verse 11. For it says, For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. And I heard this analogy made many years ago. You know, when you look at the earth, the globe, and someone said this, why did the Lord use this particular direction. East is as far as the east is from the west. Why didn't he say the north and the south? Well, if you're on the earth and you go north and you keep going north, you'll eventually get to the North Pole and you'll go down the other side and you'll be heading south.
Okay.
But if you're on the earth and you start going east, you never end up going west.
Mm.
East never meets west. Never.
That's so interesting. So it's pretty far.
Yeah, so like, you know, he gives that example. Mm-hmm. As far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgressions from us. That's pretty powerful, because there's other scriptures that talks about that God blotting out our sins and remembers them no more. You know, and he forgives us. He cleanses us from unrighteousness, as it says in 1 John 1:9, that if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And it was just recently that I was meditating on that scripture where the part of the verse that stood out, became more alive to me, was that where it says that he is faithful and just.
Amen.
Faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That means he's not going to scratch his head and say, you know, I don't like this guy. So too bad for him. I'm not going to forgive him. I don't like him. No, he's faithful and just. If we confess our sins, and we're talking about not just paying lip service, we're talking about from the heart.
Hmm.
That if we truly repent from our heart and we're sorry for our sins and ask God to forgive us, he is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And the scripture tells us in Romans that that if we confess the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord, he says that we shall be saved. With the mouth confession is made, the heart, we believe in the righteousness, and the mouth confession is made unto salvation.
That's right.
He will save us. He is in the saving business. I remember a minister many years ago said that when he was praying for somebody, that he thought, well, this guy, you know, God ain't going to heal him. You know, he's not a really good person. The Lord healed him. And then, you know, of course, he also talked about, you know, those who he didn't think God would save either, you know, because they've been, you know, too bad, done so many bad things. And he said, the Lord told him, he said, I'm not trying to keep people out of heaven.
Wow.
And that's pretty profound, because we oftentimes, when we talk about want to invite people over for dinner or have an outing or some kind of get together, you know, we're pretty selective in who we choose to come over. And
that's true.
And that's not saying, you know, we invite anybody and everybody, because some people, you know, just wouldn't be good for, you know, the gathering. But at the same time is, if we have a heart of love like God has, you know, we're going to be looking past what we see on the outside. And many times, you know, I had to admit in my past life, that's how I evaluated some people. I would see how they acted on, you know, especially if they were, you know, famous or a celebrity, and see how they acted and heard things that they have done. It's like, oh, wow. I remember seeing a certain athlete, and I'm not going to mention his name, but I saw his picture on the billboard. I remember driving from church many years ago, and I see up there, picture up there, and it just seemed such vanity, you know, the way he was living at the time, you know, and the limelight that they were giving him and all these type of things, and the applause and the patting on the back, all this fame. And, you know, I thought to myself, this is not the kind of guy I expected would go to heaven. But you know what? God turned him, he changed that man's life, and he became a great tool for the kingdom of God. And one of the least people I expected.
You see that?
And yet, that's how God operates. You know, we saw the Chosen series, and it's interesting some of the, you know, some of the takes that they put in there. That's, you know, very inspirational. You know, some of the things ain't exactly found in the Bible what they said, but the fact is, if it doesn't contradict the Word, I don't have a problem with it. You know, and there's very many insightful things. But I like how it was when Jesus picked Matthew. You know, in that episode, and Peter's like, What are you doing?
What are you doing?
What are you doing? Don't you know he's a tax collector?
What he's done? Don't you, you know what he's done?
And it's like, well, you know, Peter's not thinking about what he's done, although he had told the Lord, you know, hey, I'm a sinful man, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man. Mm-hmm. But yet he picks Matthew. It's like, oh, no, that's too far out that's there. You know, it's too below, you know, the standard. But see, this is how God is. It doesn't matter what you've done. You may have killed somebody. And people say, well, they need to throw away the key on you. But God doesn't think like that.
That's right.
Because he knows our heart, and he knows if we're truly repentant.
That's right.
And he will forgive you. He will forgive you. He loves you, and he wants to redeem you. So I want to say this to you or people that may feel, you may feel you've gone too far, or you may feel like, you know, you're not worthy. Maybe you haven't even done anything really, really bad as far as what the world would say, but yet you just feel so unworthy. You just feel like you're nothing. You don't have it. You know, I don't have the looks. I don't have the personality. I don't have the knowledge. I don't have a talent, you know, like many others. But yet you do, because God created you and he loved you and he gave you a talent. Maybe you haven't discovered what it is yet, or maybe you're just overlooking it, because sometimes the talents that we see in others is the same in a sense what others see in us. They see your potential, and yet you look in the mirror and you just see your flaws.
That's true.
And that's not a good place to be. And God wants you to see yourself as he sees you, loved and accept it if you will receive him. And this is important to this subject of walking in the power. Because how can a person walk in the power if they can't overcome those struggles that's keeping them down, where Satan is keeping them bound? And I believe that, you know, not only are many people bound by sickness and disease, poverty, and things that are, you know, in the natural that you can see holding them down, but they're also bound to invisible things that's in their soul, their way of thinking, their self-esteem, how they believe about themselves, that they're not worthy. Why would God love me? I'm nothing. Yes. I'm nobody. You know, I was, you know, not even, you know, did well in school, or I flunked out, or whatever it might be. But see, God is in a redeeming business. He can take your mess and turn it around for his glory. And he does that. You see this in the Bible. What he did with Moses, what he did with David, what he did with Peter. I mean, Peter denied Jesus three times and cursed.
That's right. Yet
he became one of the greatest apostles of all time.
You know what comes to mind also? Paul. Well, first of all, Saul. And how God touched his life. And he did not do good things. Saul, he was persecuting the church and, you know, these innocent people being thrown into jail, hurting them, dividing families, tormenting them. It was terrible what he was doing. And he thought he was so right. He felt so self-righteous. And that's the beauty of God. God, in his way, the way he deals with us, if we are walking in a crooked path, God loves us so much. He doesn't want us to continue. He doesn't want us to stay on that crooked path. He wants to straighten our paths, right? And Paul wasn't Saul at that time. He didn't think he was doing anything bad, but God had a plan with his life. And the Lord had an appointment with him the day he least expected. And so we also believe that our listeners, maybe they said, let me just hear what this podcast is about. And they did not know that the Holy Spirit has an appointment already with them, to remind them, or at least to tell them, to teach them, to show them that there is love. God loves them. If you repent, it's not that you just justify the walking in a sinful manner and doing wrong. You know, that doesn't matter. God doesn't care about that. No, he does care about that. He cares so much that he came to pay. He paid the price for that, because otherwise you'd be judged by God for those sins. But he took the punishment upon himself. But he loves you too much to let you continue walking in those ways, in the erroneous ways, sinful way. So I think about this man, Saul. He was doing really bad things, and he thought they were so good. but God met him and his life turned around forever. And God used him in a way that if we were to choose someone, I think we personally wouldn't choose Saul. We would say, no, he's too far out. He's done wrong too long. No, his sins are too big. Nope, he's hurt too many people. Nope, let's use somebody else. But God's choices are amazing. But you know what? Because you read in 2 Corinthians 5:17, that God does a new thing. The old things have passed. When God touched Saul, he didn't just make Saul a nicer guy. No. He made Saul a new creature. That's what my Bible says here. He was a new person. He wasn't the old Saul, decorated, perfumed, little cuter. No, that Saul was gone. And now God made a new person. And I trust and I know that our listeners, there's somebody who thinks that there's no hope. Listen, no, there's no hope for you as the old person, but God is not going to be dealing with that person. He's going to make a new person from that old person in Christ. So there is hope, and it's so beautiful what God can do. Man can't do it. No amount of therapy, of vacations, of, I'm going to say, alcohol, drugs, to try to get away from the past. There is nothing one person can possibly do compared to what God can do when you come and you give your life to Jesus Christ. He's going to make you a brand new person. That's amazing.
Amen. That's beautiful, sweetheart. And I just had this thought, you know, to add to that, and maybe even a new revelation I've gotten out of this is where it says in Romans, Romans chapter 12, verse 2, that be ye transformed through the renewing of your mind. You have to renew your mind to the fact that you're not the old person anymore.
Right.
If you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you've accepted him as your Savior from your sins, knowing that he paid the penalty for your sins on the cross, and you make him Lord. I mean, now he is your boss. You were willing to follow him and serve him. Then, as we talked in some previous segments about the integrity of God's word, is we need to believe the word when it says that if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation.
That's
old things
good.
Have passed away. Behold, all things become new.
That's
you need
good.
To believe that.
That's very good. Whether you feel it or not.
Well, there's a good point right there. I came into this broadcast a little while ago just feeling so tired and weary, and like I feel like the anointing wasn't even here to even do this broadcast. But we decided to step out by faith. We prayed and asked God to give us the anointing, and I still didn't feel it. But because my sweetheart, we said, let's just go ahead and do it. And
that's
look
right.
How beautiful this broadcast is coming out right now.
That's
it's
right.
Like, wow, I'm even impressed what God has done here. So don't let how you feel affect what you believe.
That's right.
I like what Smith Wigglesworth said many years ago when he lived on the earth. He's been passed on since 1947,
wow.
Since he lived in the late 1800s and early 1900s,
really?
And did most
okay.
of his ministry. He said, people would ask him, how do you feel? He said, I'm not moved by what I feel. I'm only moved by what I believe.
Hallelujah.
So if you believe the word of God, it's irrelevant what your feelings say to you. Now, of course, we do look, you know, and desire to have those feelings of peace and, the witness of the Spirit. But at the same time, sometimes the enemy's attacking us and we're under that, oppression. This is the time not to give in to those feelings and say we believe what we feel. We need to believe what the Word says.
That's
overall.
Right.
And I want to kind of end this here on a testimony, or I want to say a testimony, but something that Paul had said to Timothy in 2 Timothy. He says here in verse 3, he says, I thank God, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3, says, I thank God whom I serve with a pure conscience. Now, kind of a tangent here for a moment. Paul has a pure conscience from what he used to be.
Wow.
right?
That's right.
And we've seen him relate that in other passages of Scripture. He says, as my forefathers did, as without ceasing, I remember you in my prayers, night and day, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwells first in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also. And here he goes to encourage him. Therefore I remind you to stir up the gift of God that is which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. This is amazing. Yes. He's encouraging young Timothy not to give in to fear. Amen. Don't look at what others are saying about you or could say about you. You know, well, you know, you're an ex-convict or you've done this or you've done that. Mm-hmm. God can't use you. No. God may even use you more than those who say stuff like that, because it's not about us. It's about what he's done in us. It's what Jesus did at the cross.
That's
he
right.
paid a heavy price to give you redemption, to purchase you back from destruction and from death and give you a new life. So if he says that if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation, all things pass away, behold, all things have become new, then he means exactly Amen. What he said.
Amen.
And you need to believe it.
Amen.
So don't let the enemy steal your future. You know, you have a future to walk in the power of God. And just as Paul is encouraging Timothy here, this is interesting. Paul was that kind of guy in the past, but now he's a mentor. God has called you, whether you're a man or you're a woman, God has a bright future for you, or even a young person. Maybe you're a child or a teenager.
That's right.
God has a bright future for you. He called you. He ordained you. He created you with a purpose, a divine purpose to fulfill his will in the earth. Just as he told Jeremiah, he said, before I formed you in your mother's womb, I knew you, and I called you to be a prophet to the nations. He said, and God even told him not to, you know, consider his youth.
Child.
You know, I'm a child, and I can't do this or I can't do that. No, you can do it, because if God is for you,
that's right.
Then who can be against you?
What a beautiful word. That is a beautiful word. I'm encouraged. Hallelujah. I am so happy that you took the time to listen to this podcast. Please do something, not only for yourself, but also for your friends and family. Share this podcast. There are many people who need to hear this truth. And please remember, if you have never given your heart to Jesus, this word is for you too. You first need to give your heart to the Lord, your Maker, and now He wants to be your Savior. He died on the cross so that you can have not only eternal life, but also walk in a divine purpose here on earth and make a difference not only in your own life, but the new creature also makes a difference those around you. The Holy Spirit wants to give you a new life and show you how beautiful it is when we abide in Jesus Christ. Thank you so much for taking the time to listen to this podcast. May the Lord continue to bless you and speak to you next time.
Praise the Lord. God bless.
Bye-bye.